This episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a fantastic new website or blog. For 20% off, use the offer code MORNING10 at checkout. That's the offer code MORNING10 at Squarespace.com. Coming up on this TMS, should we get flu shots this year?
That dirty chicken problem is more problematic than you think.
Peggy Hill got drunk.
Uh-oh. JJ is talking to George Lucas constantly.
Makes me nervous. McCartney claims he was the first person to ever take a selfie.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You think you're smart. Smart to buy this bonus detergent. Smart to get an English rose towel and a heavy-duty detergent all at once. Do you? Well, now, you're going to think you're brilliant. Because now, bonus has an extra value. Oh, we'll still give you the beautiful towel and clean clothes, but we'll also give you a bonus check worth $1. Just send the bees from 3 bonus boxes, any size, to this address. And, be a genius.
Now I'm a real blonde.
The Morning Stream. Shut up, baby, I know it.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's the Morning Stream for Wednesday, October 9th, 2013. As it turns out, due to circumstances out of my control, the last day of TMS this week.
Oh.
No show tomorrow. So hold all those emails, people who claim to be awesome fans who listen to everything we say and still text and tweet and email me that where's the
show?
Are
you pod fading?
You guys quitting?
Did you guys finally just pack it in?
Yeah, are you done?
I was going to vote for them for a podcast award, but they don't do shows anymore.
I know what love is, Jenny. Getting kind of a Forrest Gump off you there a little bit.
Right.
An eventful morning.
An
eventful morning here in Frog Pantsville. Poor Brian with his technical issues. Poor me with my... Actually, I was fine. Kim made me toast. Yeah. So everything's fine here.
Kim made you toast.
She made me toast, and that made me happy. And we got...
She took you in and made you breakfast?
Took me in and made me breakfast. That Vegemite, though, is the worst. Oh, the worst.
So, no. Second worst.
Thickened liquid. There you go.
I will always put the thickened liquid up as the pinnacle of the crap we've had to eat.
Yeah, imagine Brian's the monkey played by Benson's Robert Guillaume in Lion King, and you're holding up the thickened liquid as king of the worst food we've ever tested on the show. Freaking Elton John music. Blah, 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 blah. Didn't he do that? Elton John did.
Yeah, the circle of death right there was that thickened
circle
liquid.
Circle of death. Nice. So anyways, welcome everybody. It's the Morning Stream. Did I tell you the date? I did. It's a little after 8 because, we had some trouble this morning. But don't worry. We got stuff going on. Did you end up doing the grape thing? Did you put grapes in the freezer?
Oh, I did not. I was going to go to the store and get grapes yesterday, and the whole day went to heck in a handbasket. Why am I afraid to say hell in a handbasket?
I don't know.
No idea.
Hells are okay. Hells are encouraged.
Yes.
On the show.
No, I had some more stuff to do with the Germans. The Germans.
Ah, that's right. Watch out for the Germans. Hello, Brian.
Technical support with the Germans. Listen. We're at the point now where aside from the occasional web conference, I just send them an email and they give me remote desktop access to their computer. This is exciting stuff that I'm telling you.
It really is. Riveting.
But I get to sit there to run their machine for a while. I'm running a German machine.
Dude, that's weird. That's a little bit weird. Do they say things like, Brian, we have turned it off and on again. It is still not working properly.
I don't even think they are there watching me. I think that they, he's at home. He's watching Everybody Loves Heimlich. And he gets a little message on his phone.
Yachtung, baby. Oh, that's a song. Never mind. Anyway.
And then he just like hits a button and it turns on that server and gives me access. I don't think he's even there.
Everybody loves Heimlich. I would watch that. I didn't watch that a lot.
I probably should have said Heinrich, but Heimlich's the first thing that came to mind.
This is what I love about our chat room. I did that voice. I did my impression of Ray Romano.
Yeah.
And Trivially Travis says, Scott Johnson, you sound like Ray Romano. Ding, 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 ding.
That's good because that's what you were going for.
Yeah, good job. Just teasing you there. Trivially Travis. Trivially? Trivially.
Trivially Travis.
Doesn't sound right. All right. So, well, I did the grapes, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
Bought the grapes.
Okay.
Brought them home. Right. Left them out. Got busy. Afternoon came and went. Yeah. Well, no, that'd be bad. That'd be real bad if any food gets packed in a box. But they sat out just because they were there on a fruit bowl, and kids got home and ate them all.
So, wow.
No grapes.
Scarf the whole thing down.
Yeah. I mean, I only got one. I got like a bag of them. It was no big deal. But Nick and Carter can put those away, so they were gone. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't know what was going on, so I was kind of. I went up there and just kind of went. I looked so forlorn, like I walked in and went, oh, like I knew exactly what happened,
right?
Because obviously, you know, I mean, I knew who was home. Kim wasn't home. I knew it wasn't her, and she's not in there going, oh, blah, blah, give me the grapes. Oh, blah, blah. She doesn't do like that,
right?
So I knew it had to be the kids.
That's funny. Well, hey, kids are eating fruit. I guess you can't complain too much, right?
This is true. Speaking of kids, fruit, and complaining too much, should we get a flu shot this year? We had this conversation last year, right? And yeah. I went from when flu season started right around this time last year to the entirety of the winter and the flu season, and I never got anything. Totally free and clear. No big deal. Kim got sick. Kids all got something. I never got a thing. Went through unscathed. I waited till July to get a head cold, and August or whenever that was. I guess it was September to get my strep throat. Right, so I had my I had my licks, but they weren't during the quote unquote flu season, the 38 game season that they have every year for flu. So here's the question: I'm seriously considering doing it, not because I'm paranoid, not because I'm afraid of getting the flu, because you know you get it or you don't, whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to do it more as an experiment as a person who has never had a flu shot in his life.
Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting to see what your take is. Here's my thing, and I don't know what it is. So, obviously, you know, you get the little cocktail they shoot into your arm that has the ability to wipe out whatever that year's strain of flu is, or at least the one they're aware of. Yeah. Right. And I think it also has a side effect, that a little tiny, you know, one of those little bacteria or whatever it is that's in there crawls its way into my brain and erases the part of my memory that remembers if I got a flu shot or not, because I can't tell you if I got one last year.
I want to say you talked about doing it
and
that you may have done it, but I don't remember either.
Exactly. I don't remember.
That's funny.
Does the tadpole remember? Is there an episode they can point me to, or I could listen where I can definitively know if I got a flu shot?
Yeah.
I'm definitely doing one this year. So
we'll do it together then.
We'll be virus brothers.
I like the V brothers. I like what Jeffers in the chat room says. Get one, Scott, and just see what happens. I like the way he said that. I'm going to go ahead and apply some tone to what he said, and the way I hear that come out of his mouth is, get one, Scott, and just see what happens. That's how I hear it.
Right. You just see what happens.
Now, here's why I've kind of got it on the mind, because in the newspaper yesterday, here the local Salt Lake Tribune, Salt Lake's oldest newspaper, Utah's oldest newspaper, been around since the 1800s, I think. Actually, maybe that's the Deseret News. Anyway, whatever. First flu hospitalization reported in Utah. Vaccine available, they say. Whoa. Public health announcement. Salt Lake City health officials are reporting the season's first influenza hospitalization, a child under the age of 18. What if he's 17? I wouldn't call him a child. The flu typically blows into Utah and across the U.S. in October and sticks around through May. We've seen hospitalizations as early as the first week of October before, said Salt Lake County Health Department spokesman Nicholas Rupp. Rupp! R-U-P-P is a great name. It sounds like an acronym for an old person organization, doesn't it?
It totally does.
Join the RUPP, where growing old is not a thing to waste or whatever.
The retired, anyway.
It says, let's see, states and counties will still collect and report their flu data. B-b-b-b-b-b. CDC goes through that data. Vaccines have already been purchased, says RUPP. Flu shots are also available in abundance at most drugstores and health clinics. So, this just got me thinking, you know what? If I'm going to do it, let's do it on a year when the flu is already out. You know, it's coming out early. I'm not saying that's an indication that it's going to be harder or worse than other years previously. I mean, the swine flu year was a pretty rough year, as my memory goes.
Sure.
But I'm going to do it just to see how crappy I respond to it. In other words, like to see, because I tend to be a little paranoid about drugs and pills and shots. I don't trust any of it.
You had the sickest you've ever been this last year, didn't you? Like, didn't you have some experience?
No. It was in 20... Hold on, let me think about that. Did I forget when I had the sickest I've
ever been? I thought you had a... Well, maybe it wasn't the sickest you've ever been, but I thought you had a
really
bad... Well,
the strep throat was real bad. That was really, really bad, and that knocked me out.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, strep throat.
Two straight days. That was like a month ago is all. Mm-hmm. And I'd never had that before, so it really took me down and was rough.
I could have sworn there was something last winter, like January or February, that hit you maybe like the week before we went to Vegas for the thing.
Or after.
Or the
or
week
something.
After.
I don't remember. Did I? Maybe I did. It's like, I don't know. Maybe there was something in the flu that blocked my memory of that.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know.
Who knows? But I know, I can tell you that the worst I've ever been was 2008. I had a 14-day flu and thought I was going to die. That was the sickest I ever was.
Ugh.
Yeah, so I don't want that again. I bet if I'd have gotten a shot that year, I might have avoided it. But that was like, let's see, when was that? That was like, that was in the summer. So F off. None of this works.
And Krznick has mentioned that you did get sick right before Nurtacular, but that was
just a head cold. That was no big deal.
Yeah.
We didn't even miss shows for that.
Right.
I just had a stuffy head. Well, anyway, it's flu shot season, everybody. Go out, run out, talk to your local Walgreens. Have them, how is it? It's a normal shot, right? It's not like some thickened liquid like butt shot, right?
No, yeah, it just goes right into your arm. Okay. I don't know if it's thickened liquid, but it's, you don't taste it if that's what you're worried about.
Well, Sean Austin from Lord of the Rings, he played one of the Hobbits, is here with us now. What's going on, Sean?
Not to heighten your paranoia, Scott, but when I was in the military, they forced us to get flu shots. Whoa. Had the worst flu of my life afterwards and have refused to get one since and haven't had the flu since.
Now, wait a sec. You're the guy I want to talk to for a second about this. You're telling me that the worst flu you've ever had came only after you got a shot to prevent said flu.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I've read in a bunch of places and talked to people who say it is a myth that the shot itself gives you the flu or a form of it or a lighter form or any of those things, that that's all a bunch of malarkey. But I have to wonder if that's a truism at all, if that ever happens with some individuals. Probably going to happen to me since I've never had one before, right?
Like I said, not to heighten your paranoia.
But you did anyway.
Too late.
Too late. All right, thanks, Sean. It's always good to hear from our men and women serving overseas.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. Thank you for your service.
For sure.
Thank you for taking one for the team there with your flu shot. All right. What else? Oh, yesterday I asked on Twitter. I want to just give some results here. The worst movies people have seen this year so far. All right. Okay. And guess what the consensus is? There are two movies that just about tied for movies that people hated the most. Just take a guess what you
all
think
right.
they are.
I'm
so far.
Guess,
2013.
Was it Grown Ups 2? Is that?
Nope. Not in there.
And Adam Sandler.
I think
one.
It's because a lot of people didn't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so this
yeah,
has
yeah,
to be
right.
something they'd seen.
They'd seen and
maybe had some hype, maybe had some, you know, some reason to see it otherwise or something.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, what was the Tom Cruise one? Oblivion?
Nope.
Oblivious?
Nope. People like that one, apparently.
After Earth?
No, although a lot of people... After Earth's in the top five, easy. But it's not in the top two. And think about it. Like, our specific kind of community would...
Sure.
Like, they would hear ahead of time and go, oh, man, After Earth, I'm avoiding that. Like,
oh, Wolverine.
Wolverine is in third, very close.
Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, World War Z. Yeah, maybe that one?
No, nope, that was fourth.
Pacific Rim.
Number one.
Okay.
Very
so
good.
I'm looking at the the tadpole. They're helping me out.
Number one, Pacific Rim.
And Sharknado doesn't count because that was just TV.
No, Sharknado was bullcrap. So how about, what do you think number two
Star
is?
Star Trek.
Nope.
Man of Steel.
Nope. Although that was probably in the top 10.
Not Iron Man 3, hopefully.
That was in the top 10 too. In fact, I think it beat Superman by a couple
of
slots.
You know what? I think it's just a matter of people having really high expectations and being disappointed.
Having them not be met.
I'll
give you a hint.
Okay, please do. Oh, of course, Lone Ranger.
Yes, even though that was the
even
though I
that
just did
Bonanza,
the Bonanza
yeah.
theme. That's all right, that worked. That was number two. So top three movies
People hated that one. I should have guessed. Yeah,
Wolverine, that piece of crap. And I saw that, and it was terrible, and I agree with everybody. And then Pacific Rim number one, which surprised me because there was a lot of support. I mean, Pacific Rim, you either loved it or you hated it. It was one or the other. I don't think too many people were kind of mixed on Pacific Rim, as my son would call it. On the line with us, Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
Don't. You're not going to talk to me tomorrow, so you get to talk to me today.
Oh, good.
I'll get the flu shot.
Oh, fantastic. Should I get the flu shot or should I listen to Military Man?
You need to go get it. Military Man, I understand. Wah, wah. Sorry.
So hold on. Wait, Cleo, you got to answer me this then.
Yes.
Is there any truth, since you deal with a lot of medically hoo-ha stuff in your life, right?
Yes.
What is there any truth to the you'll get a little bit of the flu if you get a flu shot thing? Or is that all?
No. No. Right. The flu vaccine won't give you a flu, but you can get flu-like symptoms even if you get the shot for a couple of different reasons.
Okay.
So you can get it. It takes about 2 weeks for the flu shot to take effect once you've had it.
Yeah.
So if you've been exposed to the virus before that time is up, you might catch it. And you got to remember, the vaccines that are made sometimes don't always match the virus that is in your area because it mutates and changes.
Right.
So you may get a different strain of the flu than you're inoculated for.
Right. They could do a flu. Their flu shot may be, well, it always is one particular strain and another strain may crop up and you'll get it anyway. And so his timing may have just been bad is all, right?
Yeah, his timing may have been off, or he could have had Florida man's flu or some other bad, ugly thing.
Now, so you're saying if I get a flu shot, I should wait 2 full weeks before I go back to Walmart and lick the handles of all of the kid carrying carts. I should wait two weeks.
Aggressive lick, No aggressive licking.
Yes.
Okay, because I usually do that within a couple of days of getting medicated or whatever. But you're saying 2 full weeks.
That's just entertainment purposes for you. I understand.
Right. Okay. And then I assume that would apply to what I do in men's bathrooms, which I won't talk about here because, it's a family-friendly podcast.
How many times do you tap on the floor for that one?
Yikes.
I would point people's...
You can have a reaction to the vaccine. It's just because once you're given something that is not, innately you, your body's going to have a kind of just an inflammatory reaction, and you can get like a nasal problem. The nasal, you can get the vaccine in two different ways. You can either receive the live virus, which is a very weakened form of it, and that's the nasal spray, or you can get the shot. I think, and I have seen evidence to the fact that the shot covers more strains of the virus. The live virus, I don't take chances with. It's not recommended for pregnant women, so you guys are out of the woods. Yeah. But it can give you, a runny nose, headache, sore throat, that type of thing, but it's just a reaction to the vaccine. It's not like full-blown flu.
Okay. But so you feel like you have the flu, but you don't have the flu.
No, you just get a little reaction to it. It's going to be very, believe me, way better than the flu.
All right.
It's never respiratory.
This is all I know. I'm not doing it before I move, and I'm not doing it until after BlizzCon in November. If I do it at all this year, it'll be between BlizzCon and the wedding I have to perform in late December, early January.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So
protect yourself, protect your family. Yeah. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Right.
Be good.
Yeah, they're all coming up in here, however that goes. If you want to read, Cleo did a little sort of, hey, here's the supplementary, here's funny stuff that happened in the Chad Pool stuff over on the Facebook group. I recommend people go check it out. I read that yesterday. It was very nice. I like the...
I just try to put in all the people who can't listen on Thursdays.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, when we have a show, on Thursday, when we have a show, I like to, they've asked me, a couple of people emailed me and asked me if I could put in the points.
You know what they call that? That's a transcription, they call that.
You know.
That's what the kids
call
it.
Because I like to be helpful.
That's what all the kids call it.
That's what the kids call it.
Yeah. Cleo, stay out of trouble. Go get a shot. All right. Don't lick it, though. Good Lord.
Ugh.
Don't lick your flu shot, everybody. If you learned something here today, that's the one thing we hope you walk away with. All right. It's time to call Daryl. His name is not... Dennis. There it is. Daryl.
Yes, don't call Dennis.
Don't call Dennis. Actually, there's a guy named Dennis on my Skype list who...
Stump a truck dirt is what we get with Dennis.
He makes small cameras for tiny devices. Stump a Truck Nerd, brought to you by...
Happy 30th birthday to Matt B. in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. If possible, please read on Friday, October 11th. That is his exact birthday. Also possible, please let me know when you're going to read it. Thanks. We're reading it now.
Now. I meant to take that last part out.
That's really funny. No, I'm glad you left it in. Because I completely read this thing. I don't look at the next word until it's time for me to do the read.
Which I like.
On most of these.
Don't go changing. Keep doing that.
Yeah.
she emailed me, said they listen together. They like to, and it would be a really cool thing to do. And so I said, heck yeah. So there you go. Happy birthday. And I hope you guys are having a good day. Daryl, I hope you're having a good day. How are you?
Oh, I am. It's good to hear the truth about flu shots.
Oh,
Cleo.
Look at that. So Cleo speaks true, and you say military man is up in the night, too. Do you vote with her on her side?
Yeah, I think he licked the sand too many times.
So what did something. You... licked the sand.
I don't know.
What do you... So do you do a yearly shot? Is that your deal?
Yes. I go every year because I'd rather have... Well, actually, I never, ever have a reaction to it, but if there was one... It'd be way better than having the flu because that's terrible.
Yeah, it is kind of terrible. It's kind of the worst thing.
So, Sniffly Man bought right by you. Did he take the day off or is he still sick?
Yes. Yeah, is he right there?
Well, is he right there? Yes or no?
He's not there right now.
Okay. All right. We're going to assume he's got chronic laser diarrhea and he's in the other room. He's in the bathroom. And everything is fine.
He's making the men's room sound like a haunted house.
Well, it is the month you'd want to do that in.
That's right.
Daryl, it's so good to have you here and talking Star Trek trivia time. Daryl's here every day, and we talk a little bit of Star Trek, mainly in the form of a question. He tries to answer it. I don't think we have a prize today, do we? I don't think we do. For Daryl.
We don't have a prize. We can make something.
I think he just wings it.
You win a sack of Crunky, the chocolate treat.
I want Thick and Liquid as a prize.
Okay. I'm all out. Brian's all out, too. You would think. I think I'll send you a copy of the Jeff Lynn produced... George Harrison's Cloud Nine, featuring Got My Mind Set on You in cassette form.
Set in the cassette, huh?
Yeah, I think I might do that. I don't even have a way to play this. None of my cassette recorder things work. Players. All right, Daryl, here you go. Many titles of the Star Trek episodes are inspired by other works. That's a truism all throughout the series. These might be in the form of world history, literature, or as he wrote, literature, and so on. Which episode of the Star Trek Next Generation shares its name with a song by the band America? Brian, you're not allowed to shout this out.
Okay.
Because I know you feel the temptation right now.
I do.
Is it A, The Survivors, B, Shades of Grey, C, Tin Man, or D, Brothers? So that's The Survivors, Shades of Grey, Tin Man, or Brothers. And Brian, can you just confirm?
Sister Golden Hair surprise?
No. And there's none of that... Oh, I know the one. Never mind. I'm going to say one of them. But these are all actual songs, right? Just to confirm.
No, these are all actual titles of Star Trek episodes.
Oh, they're not titles of... Oh, I got it. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of these is a song title.
One of them is a song title as well.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Good. And I didn't give anything away by screwing
that up. Venture Highway is the name of the Star Trek episode.
Brilliant. So here you go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Daryl, pull out. We got to make a decision here. Do you want to do those weird multicolored french fry things or do you want to do the crunky pop joy?
Crunky. Well, I know Brian wants crunky, so let's do crunky.
Okay, crunky.
Totally want crunky.
Crunky it is. This is Japanese.
Can't wait to put this in my grill.
Yeah. Japanese thing. It's made by somebody called Lott, L-O-T-T-E. And there's no other English outside of those three words. So we don't know.
Crunky isn't even a word.
True. There is. Oh, that's weird. On the other side of the side, it says chocolate crunch. Read that. It's on the sides.
Chocolate crunch.
Not on mine. Mine says... Oh, you know why it's overlaid.
It's the flap, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's the flap. Never mind. I got all excited about a typo that didn't exist. All right.
Who's the rap artist that is all about the crunk?
Crunky Popjoy. Is that his name?
Crunky Popjoy. Crunky D.
Yeah, Crunky D. That's the all D's at the end. I guess a certain
Little
era.
John, that's right. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I would have no idea. All right. I don't know what these look like.
He was on Celebrity Apprentice.
These look like sugar babies in a weird way.
Yeah, they do.
We'll find out.
It's squarish, too. It's like a milk dud.
Mm-hmm.
A Borg milk dud.
Yeah. And these are with all the little Borg dots in it.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about this one because these are bad on my teeth, so I got to watch it with this one, right?
I don't think it's caramel inside, so I think you're going to be okay.
Oh, yeah, bright.
It's full of crunky.
Ooh.
Hmm.
I don't know if I love that chocolate.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, call me crazy, but...
You're crazy.
I don't think that's good. I feel like I'm eating a little wax ball.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's waxy. Are you getting that vibe? Oh, no. Daryl, how are you?
Yeah, it is a kind of has a waxiness to it.
Yeah, like I could put a... The power could go
you
out.
You are
and I could
both
put a little,
crazy.
I could put a wick in it.
I don't think it's bad or anything.
No, it's all right.
It's different.
I've had worse things in my life. Let me put it that way.
There's like a hint of Kit Kat to it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what E. Kratoshinsky just said, too. It's like Kit Kat chocolate.
Hmm. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with these. I'll sadly have these consumed by...
I'll save mine for you for next year. Whenever you come out here again, you're going to have mine.
I can have your crunky?
It's like when they were making the Kit Kat bars, they took the dust from the leftovers and put it in this.
Ooh, that is not helping me. That is not making it better. All right, well, there it is. We got one left of the Japanese batch. Hold on, where's the... I was going to give him credit, and I can't find his sheet.
Oh, I have it.
This is good. I like it.
Who was
Ian
it again?
Ian Orney.
Lee Ian Orney. He was amazing in Full Metal Jacket. Incredible performance.
His description, I'm reading all of his descriptions of all the things we ate. His crunky Pop Joy chocolate snacks. These aren't particularly weird, besides the name.
Well, that's okay. We're happy to explore just weird names. That's fine.
Oh, and he was right. Breadsticks are the things we ate yesterday. The pretz. Breadsticks with a mild wasabi flavoring. I think Brian will really like these.
Ooh.
Darn right I did.
Yeah. I liked them too. I ended up eating the whole box like some kind of idiot.
Did you? I still have one bag for rate.
I loved them. What'd you do them, Daryl? What'd you do with them?
I think they went straight in the garbage.
Oh, I should have given them to Sniffles behind you there.
little wasabi sticks to shove up his nose.
Yeah. This will make you feel better there, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. let's dive in here. Let's see. Well, birthdays. You got any birthdays?
Oh, yes, we do. Oh, it's Scott Bakula. He's 59 today.
Oh, boy. 59? Oh, boy. Really? He didn't seem 59 to me. That's shocking to me. He seems way younger than that. Like, I'd put him perpetually at, like, 42.
I know. He does. He does have kind of a Dick Clarkian.
Forever.
A Dick Clarkian.
Full look.
The Dick Gene.
Yes.
Definitely got the Dick Gene.
I think all guys have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Many of us do. So, good deal. Happy birthday to him. What's he working on now? Has he got something cool going on? Probably not. Like Necessary Roughness 2, maybe?
Oh, yeah. He's playing a gay man in a show on HBO. It's like the gay male version of Girls.
Oh. Oh,
like, you know, it's about three gay guys in New York who, who else is in this? It was somebody really bizarre, like that I wouldn't have put with Scott Bakula, like Eric Roberts or something.
He's perfect. Eric Roberts would play a great gay guy. He's also a good mobster in the Batman movies, but I'll take him as a gay dude. Speaking of Batman, can I just make a recommendation?
Looking is the name of the show.
Looking.
Yes, you can make a recommendation.
I'm going to make one right now. Here it is. On Netflix, there is a animated version, animated adaptation of DC's Batman Year One series by, I want to say that was Frank Miller did, I believe. I believe Year One is Frank Miller. Anyway, it's an animated version of that, and it is so freaking good.
Really?
Like, I cannot recommend it enough. It is a step above the typical kind of straight to DVD animation style. The voice acting is amazing. Bryan Cranston plays Chief Gordon, Lieutenant Gordon in this.
Okay.
And that's weird to hear Walter White at first.
Good to see him get some work.
Yeah, the guy's not in demand at all now. And it's like a year old or 2 years old or something, but I missed it for whatever reason. And some of the mobster voices you'll recognize immediately, and just they're amazing. Cool. It's so well done.
Batman Year One.
Year One.
64 minutes.
It's amazing. Oh.
Eliza Duckshoe is in there. Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. Bunch of people. Bunch of famous.
Cool.
And they're all real good. I cannot recommend it enough, really, honestly.
Just add it to my list. When I couldn't sleep last night, I ended up watching a couple of Doctor Who episodes, season two, David Tennant episodes. But I could have easily watched that. 64 minutes. It would have been perfect.
And it's intense and dark and just great. It's just great Batman up and down.
So the Scott Bakula show is called Looking. It's going to be on HBO. It takes place in San Francisco and explores the fun and sometimes overwhelming options available to a new generation of gay men. Also stars Glee star Jonathan Groff, Frankie J. Alvarez from Smash, and Murray Bartlett from Guiding Light.
Great.
None of those three shows I've ever watched.
All right. Well, Bakula, we know.
Yes.
I don't like girls. You know why? Because Lena Dunham drives me crazy. I mean the show Girls.
Ice Worm. Can I just get that little snippet? Just a little snippet.
But right that show, Lena Dunham, drives me absolutely up the wall. She would have been a girl in high school I would have had to avoid all the time. She would have driven me crazy. I couldn't stand it.
I've never seen an episode of Girl. No, I take that back. I think Tina and I watched one just to see what all the hubbub was about. And didn't really hold with any of it, bub.
Yeah, it's just this hipstery...
Right.
No, I don't know what to call it, but she. I don't mean her as a person. I don't know her as a person. I'm saying that character just drives me up the frickin' wall and back. Can't deal with it. All right, Daryl, it's back to trivia time. It's where you have to answer this damn question, and here was the question. One of these songs, one of these episodes is also a song by America, the band America, and the possible answers are The Survivors, Shades of Grey, Tin Man, Brothers. All of those being episodes, only one also being a song by America. Which one is it?
This is a music thing.
It is.
I don't know any titles or names or anything of anything.
This is a music thing.
Yeah. Like if he would have turned it around and give you four song titles by America, then it'd be obvious because you'd be like, oh yeah, well that one's the name of a Star Trek episode.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, stuff like Sister Golden Hair Surprise and or Sister Golden Hair, I guess is what it's called, or Ventura Highway. Kind of obvious that they wouldn't be Star Trek episodes.
Right. Good point. This is tricky. I admit, I wouldn't know this one. You would have thrown me off.
I don't know what... I don't even know any... Do I... Maybe I know some songs by America or whatever band that you said.
You do. Yeah, you know Horse With No Name.
Yeah, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It feels. I used to love that
stuff. And you know Ventura Highway.
Do we? Give us a few bars.
It's Ventura Highway in the sunshine.
Oh, yeah. But that's a longer something, and ladies have funny arms. Or something.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly it, yes. And Sister Golden Hair, you know.
How's that one go?
Well, I tried to make it Monday, but I got so damn depressed.
Something happened Monday. Put my hand in a snake's nest. I don't know what's happened to me. That's a great song.
See, this is, I'll give you like the first couple words and then I just stop because I know that whatever you come up with for the remaining lyrics is going to be far better than anything I could come up with.
I don't know how, I never remember lyrics, but I do.
They were the band that first did Muskrat Love before the Captain and Tennille covered it.
Oh, I think you mean ruined it. That's what I think the word meant. My parents played that that 8-track in the motorhome on our way to Lake Powell every summer, front and back, all the time.
Oh no!
That whatever that whole album was on 8-track, which I guess had 8 tracks on it. Right. We heard those 8 tracks to and from that 10-hour trip.
No, that's not what an 8-track means. It can have more than 8 tracks, 8 songs on it.
Oh, how did it? What was the? What did
it
that
just
mean?
Means the 8 tracks is the fact that it's one tape that's got 8. Audio tracks on it, and every time it would go cha-chunk, it would be moving to the stereo sound of another track. So really, you had 4 programs in stereo.
Oh,
with a left and a right. So those were the 8 tracks you were hearing.
Yeah, there was a time when human beings accepted their audio entertainment as a thing you couldn't fast forward or rewind.
Right, and if that song switch came right in the middle of a song like that, track switch came, whatever,
you know? Man. That's how it was. That was basic. It was like radio. It was like artificial radio. Shite. What were we doing? Anyway, Muskrat Love. All right, Daryl. Come on now. What do you got? Deliberate.
Well, let's see. I was going to say The Survivors because that's the only word in any of these that I know that's the title of any song.
Oh.
Or Survivor or whatever it is.
Oh.
You know.
The band Survivor, you mean. Right?
Oh.
Isn't there a band called Survivor, Brian?
Yeah, there is. Of course. Eye of the Tiger. Come on.
Oh, Eye of the Tiger. Got the something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking. So that's obviously not... Well, it could be that still, but I guess I'll cross that out. That was going to be my guess. Okay. What sounds like an old song title here? Shades. Shades of Grey?
Shades of Grey.
No, no.
Well, you're thinking of the 56 or 50 Shades of Grey now, but that's now. That's a thing now.
Right.
America was a band from way back then when nobody knew that book was ever going to be in it. When that freaking Twilight fan fiction was going to be a huge multi-million dollar seller. No one knew.
I guess I'll cross Shades out.
Okay.
So it's between Brothers and Tin Man. Tin Man is like, that sounds like it's a horse with no name, but it's only, except that it's a Tin Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if it has the name or
not. Not a horse. Yes.
Yeah. I want to see a sitcom where the premise of the story is Daryl is accidentally thrown into a music trivia competition.
That would be horrible.
And has to spend the entire half hour show trying to win. I believe that would be amazing. I would watch a show like that.
But then Brothers, that also sounds like an old song title.
Yep.
I think I'm going to go with Tin Man because that sounds more oldish.
There's a certain age quality to all these titles, right? There's a certain they kind of match a certain thing.
Easily could have all been 70s.
Yep.
70s tunes. Yeah.
And that kind of, I don't know, that weird aesthetic that those songs all had. Kind of somewhat ethereal and mythological, but also just kind of dopey and dumb. Like, God, it's hard. It's a weird combination. Nobody does these anymore. So it was a weird time. Mm-hmm. And I love that stuff. I could listen to that music all day.
Oh, sure.
All right. Well, let's find out if Daryl is correct. Is it Tin Man, judges?
Congratulations!
Wow.
You're a winner!
Nice work. The answer is the Tin Man episode shares the same name by the song by America in this episode, or as he wrote, Epis-do. The Enterprise tries to make first contact with an entity known as Tin Man. They are in a race against the Romulans to reach it first. In the race to world first, it's the Romulans and the Tin Man.
Right.
Tam Elbrum comes aboard the ship. He is a powerful telepath. There's a clip of him yelling at Riker to read his mind. Here you go, right here.
I should have brought up the Romulans earlier, but I was distracted. And no, Billy boy, I wasn't distracted on Garushta. If Darson had listened to me, no one would have died. No? Well, I don't care whether you believe that or not.
Billy boy, he referred to Riker as.
Wow. Billy boy.
That's great.
So Tin Man, for those of you who don't recognize, it's the one that goes, Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man.
Oh, yeah.
That he didn't already have.
And the lady up the street had a chicken. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
We gotta figure out a way to play a game called Scott Finishes the Lyrics.
I can't ever remember.
I don't know how to make this into a game, but it's fantastic.
I've always been good at improv rhyming. It's not a problem.
I know. I like the Snake's Nest earlier.
It's not bad.
Ventura Highway or whichever one.
Do they have a greatest hits album? If I went to go get one from America, do they?
Yep. Right. And it's called, it's not straight America's greatest hits. It is.
That sounds like something you'd buy also, but not.
History is what it's called. History.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm down with that.
It's great. Lonely People, Sandman, Tin Man, I Need You, Horse with No Name, Ventura Highway.
Is it Lonely People? Is that all the lonely people?
No, it's this is for all the lonely people.
Oh, people.
Thinking the life passed them by.
Oh, they're great, dude. I'm buying that today.
Yeah.
Today.
Right, it's good. You'll be surprised at, like, you know, and why this works and Neil Diamond doesn't for you, I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. There's something different. Something else going on here.
Right.
All right, Daryl, you've done well. Congratulations. A week, short week, but week nonetheless, where you've nailed every question possible known to man. Daryl's the Trek nerd. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And you should follow him on Twitter. I already said that. The Trek nerd on Twitter. All right, Daryl, I have a new theme for us, and it's short and sweet. Here you go.
Look, an alien!
They're minerals.
All right, Daryl.
What? Oh, wow. Jeez, you did make that. You did cut that one short.
Well, it's the essence, you know? We got the essence of it.
Wow.
So, Daryl, it's your chance. Like go ahead.
That's like shaving your head with a lawnmower.
Right.
Tricycle thing.
Which I do weekly. Daryl, give us a give us a mineral or alien trivia question. Go.
Okay, here's your lengthy question. Zeolite.
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 I'm going to
say mineral. Mineral.
I will also say mineral.
And you're both wrong again. It's an alien.
Who are the Zeolites? That's a stupid name for anybody. That's bullcrap. Zeolites. I don't think I believe it. Oh, it's the news.
Brought to you by Sword and Laser.
What?
The show that takes fantasy and science fiction, both, reading to levels you never thought possible. Join Tom Merritt, who you'll hear later today, and Veronica Belmont, who you won't, for each episode, and let your fiction hang out. Subscribe at swordandlaser.com today.
New salmonella outbreak in chicken. We talked about this.
We did.
You hear about this?
Archer Farms remembers.
You know, when he quits, we're going to have less fun to make of Jay Leno. And the new guys don't really have those same quirks, you know?
No, they really don't. But that's, you know what, we can still do. You can still do the Jay Leno. I mean, people still do the Johnny Carson.
That's true. People,
weird,
that's
weird
true.
Wild yeah, stuff.
Weird, wild stuff. You hear about this, Ed?
There's a new book out by a guy who is like one of Johnny Carson's best friends. Mm. And in it, he talks about the time that he and Johnny Carson broke into Johnny Carson's wife's, an apartment that he suspected that Johnny Carson's wife, Joanne, I think, was renting and was having affairs with Frank Gifford, Kathy Lee Gifford's husband.
Wait, while she was married to Kathy Lee?
I think so. Yeah, while he was married to Kathy Lee, and while she was married to Johnny Carson.
Oh,
and there's
man.
That whole section of the book is an excerpt in the latest Entertainment Weekly, and I was reading that. It's fascinating. It's wild hearing, like, he's breaking into his wife's, you know, this apartment that he thinks his wife is renting to go Mufky Fufky with Frank Gifford.
Mufky Fufky. I just, I loved that documentary about him. And there's a lot of that in there too, about kind of his paranoid side.
Yeah.
Like he had some stuff going on, that Johnny Carson. That's a great documentary. If you guys haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's amazing. And I forgot what it's called. King of Late Night, I think.
Mm.
I think that's what it was.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, big changeovers coming. You got, so Letterman's contracted through 2015 now. And Leno leaves next fall, right? Or summer or something.
Great.
Then you got Fallon taking his spot, which is just crazy to me. Still crazy to me that Fallon went from kind of bit player on SNL to this.
I like, you know what? I like his show.
I love his show. I think here's what I like about Fallon over everybody else right now. I feel like that dude is your friend.
Right.
You never like feel you could, host
you could
man,
be
you know?
In a bar with him, having drinks, whatever, and you'd get the same Jimmy Fallon that you get on TV or... Right.
Yeah.
SNL. Right. It's all the same.
And he's good for a generation now. He's good for, he's savvy about what matters now. YouTube,
right.
Twitter, you know.
Right. Yeah.
All that
right.
stuff. He gets it. So I feel like he's going to be great. It's just a weird thing to think about. This is the guy that was in that terrible Queen Latifah taxi movie. Like, and here he is.
Right. Know? But I mean, hey, you know, who Jay Leno was in some crap movie at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. We saw Jon Stewart in, what was it? The Faculty.
Oh, The Faculty, right. David Letterman did that that Oscars Oprah Uma thing. I mean, everybody's got,
they've
you
got
know,
their little poofy moment.
Something.
Sure.
Right.
That's fine. Ferguson, he's all right. He's weird, but I like him.
I love Ferguson.
Yeah, I like Ferguson a lot.
He's come so far since the Drew Carey days. He is...
Yep.
You know, he's one again that I can turn on and be cracking up the whole time.
Yeah,
he's so
totally laugh.
So quick.
Just nails it. It's great. I love his fake partner guy that he talks to. That guy's great. I just, you know what? There's just like, it's almost like Late Night has never had better hosts. Kimmel's killing it. Like, everybody's killing
sure.
it. And except maybe Leno. I don't know what Leno's doing. That's for old people. But whatever. There's for the most part, the stable of guys that are up late doing shows for us are nailing it more than ever. But all of their ratings have never been lower because there's a generation of people my age and lower who don't care about this anymore as much, you know?
It's very true.
It's sad in a way because some of the best talent in the world's working right now. It's crazy. I mean, and you couldn't have said this in other decades. Like, you know, when Chevy Chase did his like 3 weeks of bullshit.
Oh God, yeah. Or Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Didn't he have a show?
He did, didn't he? Didn't he? He had like a little thing going.
I could have sworn it was him or some basketball player had.
Is it Shaq or something? No. Somebody Shaq. Like that. Magic Johnson. That's who it was, wasn't it?
Magic Johnson. Yes, that's exactly who it was.
That's who it was. And then you had Joan Rivers had a terrible show for a while.
Right.
Say what you want about Arsenio, but
he's back.
Yeah, he's back doing it again. But, you know.
Odd form. Yeah.
I don't know. It's an odd. It's an odd time. Anyway, chicken outbreak and salmonella. Back to the, wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't have gone further from that. Apparently this new outbreak, which you, seriously, I'm avoiding chicken like the plague. Yesterday we were like, should we go to, we had to be out of the house for an appraisal. Mm-hmm. And we thought about going, oh, this is great. Guy, sorry, I'm all over the place today. But while we're doing the appraisal, the guy that comes in, doesn't even say hi to me, sees my shirt as we're leaving. And I'm wearing a WoW shirt. And he goes, do you play? That's all he said. And I said, yeah, I do more than play. WoW's a big deal around here. He said, oh, my gosh. Oh, I haven't played since the end of Cataclysm because my wife won't let me. But my gosh, I was so... And he's telling me how he broke his neck in football and started doing appraisals after because he couldn't do football anymore. And his brother plays for the Chargers and like this big story. But most of it was just like, ah, my Rhett Pally. I got to get him back. I got to level him up. And I'm just completely freaking out about World of Warcraft for like 20 minutes before I could get out of here. So I gave him a BlizzCon lunchbox. A bunch of stickers and a mouse mat. Yeah, some old Blizzard crap. It was fun. It was fun to see a guy get that excited.
Yeah, one of Tristan's friends came over the other night to spend the night after homecoming.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I was up, I think I was just doing some stuff on Timeless Isle to get some rep or something. He's like, oh, what's that? Oh, that looks really cool. Oh, and he says, oh, yeah, I used to play this. I haven't played since Wrath of the Lich King and... You know, I was doing fine with it, but my dad was playing nonstop, and my mom said that no one in the house could play it anymore, and she made us give up all our accounts. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what this guy said, basically. It's like, my wife made me quit. And I said, well, what kind of player were you? And he goes, well, I was the kind that wouldn't stop. I just, any chance I got, I was playing. And it was just nonstop. Yeah. I was raiding. I was doing this. I said, well, the trick is to have your wife not cut the cord there, is to be a little more moderate with your, I didn't say this, but, you know, play it all the time. Play it moderately, and then it's fine.
It's hard not to, because you've got that Valor. You need to get the Valor to get the Raytheon quest going, and then you got to kill 20 elite critters on the island, and then you've got the rares. You got to get the rares.
Right. And a few months ago, I remember I was pooped, and I didn't want to raid. And I remember going, and it ended up being okay, because it was all before Flex, and we didn't have enough people anyway, and it was fine. But Kim's laying in their bed, and she goes, you'd feel better if you raided. Just go raid. Have some fun. Go raid. Aww, and I'm like,
she gets you.
She totally gets me, man. Telling me to go raid, making me toast. Cleaned up that weird thing I did in the bathroom the other day. She's great. Just kidding. That part I made up.
Okay. All right.
Salmonella chicken outbreak.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about.
It's resisting antibiotics. So it's a little scary. The salmonella outbreak linked to raw chicken from California. Involves multiple antibiotic resistant strains that have been has a hospitalization rate of 42%. This is according to the CDC.
Wow,
that's pretty bad. That's a high percentage, says CDC spokesperson Barbara Reynolds. That sounds like a villain's name on an episode of like Knight Rider. Barbara Reynolds,
or a Love Boat guest star.
Yes,
also starring Barbara Reynolds.
You would expect about 20% hospitalizations from Salmonella Heidelberg. That's the full name of the thing, I guess.
It's called Salmonella Heidelberg?
Yeah, Heidelberg.
Did somebody have a little paper sketch of it hanging on the wall of their
shrine?
Wearing
a black hat and a pair of sunglasses. There have been no deaths linked to the outbreak. She said 18% of those sickened on the outbreak have Salmonella septicemia or something, a serious life-threatening whole-body inflammatory response. Said Caroline Smith DeWall, also from an episode of Love Boat, the food safety director of the Center of Science in the Public Interest of Washington in Washington. Yeah, watch out, dude. Seriously, I'm not eating chicken until I hear this is all good, until they all clear as sounded, because salmonella and then one that's resistant to any treatment, F that.
Mm-hmm.
F that and the truck it rode in on.
Somebody needs to do a drawing of an uncooked chicken with sunglasses and a fedora with the writing underneath it to say Salmonella Heidelberg.
Totally, dude. Maybe I should do that. I'm an artist.
Get on it, because I just gave you could do this. All I just right. gave you better do it during the song because
someone's
going to
do it.
All
right, I'm going
to Irony Man.
Yeah, Irony Man's already animated.
He's already got the sunglasses on it. He's working on the fedora.
Salmonella Heidelberg drawing. I really am going to do it.
Cool.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Squarespace is sponsoring today's program. Squarespace.com. Get an easy-to-build website that you can do yourself. You don't have to hire somebody. You don't have to hire me or Brian or some other schmo to come make your site. You're thinking to yourself,
crazy.
I'm a photographer. I want to put my stuff out there. I want people to see my work. I want to sell my prints even. Well, good deal. They have all sorts of e-commerce solutions for you built right in, and you can build it all yourself. You build it visually, so you don't have to worry about all the code. Yet what's happening under the scenes is, or behind the scenes, is doing all that you'd want that to do. It's responsive design, so it looks great mobile, as well as on desktops, on tablets, whatever that people are viewing it on. People can buy your stuff. They can see your stuff. They can be impressed with what you've done design-wise. And here is the best bit. Everything on Squarespace, all of its features, all of its usability, are free to try. No credit card needed. Just sign up. Try it out. If you like it, use Morning 10. That's Morning in the numeral 10. And that'll save you 20% off any of the plans over there at squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. Make a fantastic, easy-to-use website now for barely nothing. That's squarespace.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop and it's Brandon Mayer.
The Final Score, the video game podcast for the rest of us, where Nicole, Brian, and Scott talk about the games of today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but not necessarily in that order. Subscribe at finalscoreshow.com today.
This just in, J.J. Abrams is, quote, constantly talking, unquote, with George Lucas about Star Wars. Now, how I imagine this happening, what's probably happening is J.J.'s like, oh, I need to ask him about this, or I need to say, you know, we're gonna go this direction with a stupid midichlorian thing. I better make sure that's cool, or whatever, whatever, right? But what I picture is George Lucas constantly calling J.J. Abrams, going,
so how far are you? Have you decided what you're going to do with the Han Solo's brother?
Like, I can just see him bugging the hell out of him.
Right.
Even though he sold it off.
I always had this idea that Han Solo would actually be like a...
some sort of, I don't know.
A gourmet chef.
Yeah. And he would cook for everybody on the ship. And, Chewie would get soup in his beard. His whole body's a beard. So could you do that? Could you put that in?
I could see this happening constantly. But anyway, when Disney bought Lucasfilm last year, there was some rejoicing. Based in part on the idea that new Star Wars projects might take shape away from the influence of George Lucas, its creator. It's rare that a core fan base wants to see new episodes of a storyline created without the person who gave the series in question original life. The new blood includes, of course, J.J. Abrams and screenwriter Michael Arndt. How would you pronounce his last name?
That's exactly. I would pronounce it just like you just did that. With that same noise and stepping away from the microphone so I could kind of yell it.
Arndt! They took up the task of making Star Wars Episode 7, working from where Lucas had left off. Lucas had started developing Star Wars films before this. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Lucas stepped back from the consulting role after the sale. But if you thought Abrams was going to develop 7 without much consultation, think again. Lucas's son, says that the two have been constantly talking about Star Wars and the new film is being developed. So apparently they're on the phone every damn day, pounding away on what we hope is a good Star Wars movie. Who knows how much influence is let in or not. I mean, technically he doesn't have to listen to him. It's all owned by Disney now. So
he
could say F off, old man, and he would go.
Yeah, but what about the cockfighting scene with Jar Jar Binks? What about that?
It's going to be just like things were with my old boss. Like, he'd call me into his office and he'd say, all right, well, let's try doing this and this and this. And I'd like you to do it this way and make sure you do this with it. And then I'd leave his office and I'd be like, all right, well, screw any of that.
Yeah, we've all been there. We all know what this is. Yes. Anyway, I'm really fascinated to see how this takes shape, so we'll see how
and
much
that's why that
has.
Company is the rousing success that it is today.
Indeed. Paul McCartney claims he invented the selfie.
Of course he
did. And the photobomb, not just that.
Yeah, of course he did. He invented everything. He invented rock and roll. We get it, Paul McCartney.
We get it, buddy. McCartney appeared as a guest on Late Night, or Jimmy Fallon's Late Night Chat Show, they called it here, a chat show.
Oh, it was chat show, yes. It's chat.
Hello. Speaking to the host and performing live prior to playing New and Save Us from his upcoming new album called New. Ugh. I hate that. That sounds
the
like
album
a album
just called New.
It'd be an album that Fun would make called New.
Fun. New.
Stupid. Lame. McCartney claimed that he was the first person to take a selfie. He also took credit for the photobomb appearing in the back of a picture unbeknownst to those in front of the shot. Speaking to Fallon, McCartney said, "Most people don't know that I invented the selfie." To which Fallon replied, "Well, it's really taken off." Meanwhile, on the subject of photobombing, McCartney points...
Well, you see, I was married to Linda. Linda was, you know, she was the heir to the Kodak fortune and
oh my gosh.
She says, "Paul, why don't you take the camera into the bathroom and hold it up?"
But just be in a towel and right. And suck your gut in, like all the things.
And she, I also invented fish lips.
Yeah,
the fish lip pose,
the duck pose, the duck face pose. Yeah, he's done a lot for us here in this country.
Pouring, a 40 of beer on the floor. I invented that. The dropping the mic was me. I did that one.
I invented hating Ringo. That was me. McCartney points to a picture.
I had nothing to do with "I got my mind set on you."
And, nobody. I don't even know why I have this. This tape is haunting me. I got to get rid of it. Let's see. So he appears in a photo, and he showed this to Fallon, of himself in an old black and white shot of George Harrison and two fans of the Beatles as proof of his pioneering ways in the regarding photobombing. McCartney also performed Lady Madonna during his first appearance on the during his appearance on the NBC show. So anyway, whatever. Just talking out of his ass. That's what that is.
Twerking was me.
Yeah, I invented twerking.
I remember when me and the lads were playing Madison Square Garden, and I brought out a big foam finger and started filleting it right there on stage.
I tried to stick it up John's bum.
He'd have none of that.
I never did. Not interested. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring that. You know the drill. You know we love these guys. It's all, we love them. There's nothing wrong with Tweaked Audio in every sense of the word. Seven great colors, and they're amazing. Noise reduction is a key. Engineered for durability. They last. And even if they don't, even if you touch a stranger's wiener with them in a hotel bathroom somewhere, you can still get a lifetime warranty on it, and they'll replace it. TweakedAudio.com. That's where you go. Stream is the code you check out with. That'll get you 33% off. Go there today and support our friends at TweakedAudio.com. All right.
All right.
Let's take a break with some music before Nicole and Tom get here. What do we got?
Well, we've got a song that I didn't get a chance to play last month, and I'm glad that Dale somehow wedged it into this month, even though there's no connection to the date. But you know what? I'm doing it anyway.
Perfect.
It goes, it reads the following. "Dear Brian and Scott, please, could I request a song to be played on TMS anytime from receiving this email?" That's how he figured the date. "On the 20th of September 2013, I had the honor of marrying my childhood sweetheart, Heather, and we had a fantastic day. Only one disappointing event was that our first dance wasn't the song we had chosen because the DJ's CD player wasn't working." Welcome to the 2010s, man. Jeez.
Wow. Great.
CD player?
Yeah.
"Was the was your mini disc broken?" "We ended up dancing to Adele, but we laughed all the way through. Could I please request a cover of You're Just Too Good to Be True by Manic Street Preachers, or if this is impossible, any other cover that you feel suits a couple who love Indian rock music?"
Right.
Indie and rock
not
music.
Not Indian now. Rock music?
Right. Yes.
Clarify. Oh, wrong Indians. That's dot, not feather. All right.
"Right. Keep up the brilliant work on the show, and we send all our best from Wales in the UK. Thank you, Damien Welch, and my beautiful bride, Heather Welch." Oh, congratulations.
So cute.
You guys.
Good job.
Yes. No, happy to play this. It's Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. Manic Street Preachers, one of my favorite bands from the UK, with a horrible, unfortunate accident or disappearance that happened to one of their members a few years ago who really literally just vanished. Like,
what the heck?
They found his car next to a river. They never found a body. They never found what happened to him. They assume, just because he had bouts of depression that he took his life, but he just disappeared.
Wow.
Crazy, did he jump
in the river kind of thing, probably?
Yeah, that's what they think.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah. But they've persevered. They've kept on as a band, and they have some of the best songwriting and lyrics of any band I've ever listened to. So deep and cerebral, just brilliant, brilliant stuff. So check out their originals, Manic Street Preachers, if you get a chance. They have an excellent best of album that just came out a couple of years ago with a cover of The this is the day that is a fantastic place to start. You won't be disappointed. Okay.
Right.
That's stepping down off my soapbox.
Right.
So this comes from the their first, well, it wasn't really a greatest hits. It was a B-sides and rarities collection called Lipstick Traces, A Secret History of Manic Street Preachers. It's a cover of a song by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. It's Can't Take My Eyes Off You. And it's by the Manic Street Preachers.
Nice. We'll be back in a moment with Tom and Nicole. Stay tuned.
Yeah, just too good to be true. I can't take my eyes off you. You feel like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At last, love has arrived. I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. I can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. So darling, if you feel like I feel, darling, let me know if it's real. Yeah, just too good to be true. I can't take my eyes off you. Take my eyes off you. You feel like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At last love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. I can't take my eyes off you. Ba-da, ba-da.
You know, with an ordinary suction cleaner, you can work and work away, and there's still dirt in your carpet. To remove it, here's the Hoover Junior, which gets out the trodden-in grit that other cleaners just can't remove. Here's the secret. Only Hoover has this combined brush and beater bar, so only Hoover beats as it sweeps as it cleans. Now watch the Hoover Junior deal with fluff, dust, and grit. See how the brush whisks up clinging fluff, how the Hoover Junior sucks up dust. Now watch the beater bar bubble out the damaging grit. Only Hoover can care for your carpet this way. See the Hoover Junior demonstrated at your Hoover dealer now.
There's always good reason for choosing Hoover.
Many Bothans died to bring you this information. This is the Morning Stream.
We're back. Hello, everybody, and we're back.
Oh, hello.
That's lovely. You like this sound right here?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Bring out some memories there?
How about it this brings one? Back memories of when I used it as my text tone a few months ago.
Oh, nice. How about this one? Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the one I used as my text tone.
So you got that one or this one? I love them both.
What's so, the
that's just a normal. That's just eating normal.
Credits,
right? Or no? That's credits. You're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
Your credit noise.
And then this one's eating the like a fruit.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So there you have it. Pac-Man, everyone. Pac-Man. Ask your uncle, I guess, or your older brother.
Ask anyone cool.
Yeah, ask anybody who knows what the hell they're talking about. Lazy a-holes. All right, we're going to call somebody who I would not classify as a lazy a-hole at all. Except she's not showing us online, so that might just be
her. She's in the tadpole, so...
She forgot to log into Skype! Log into Skype, Nicole! That gives me time to queue up her thing anyway. Here it is. Oh, I think I hear her. Here we go. Oh, I should quit enjoying that music and introduce our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Nicole Spag here for Recommentals. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hello.
Oh, I'm all right. We had a rough morning, but we're here.
I hope that not too rough. Everyone okay?
Yeah, it was a little... Cleo wants me to tell... Actually, JJ and Cleo both were saying, you have to tell the story.
All right, tell the story. Let's hear it. What happened?
So Mateo, when he wakes up, he cries a little bit. Nothing, you know, dramatic.
Me too. Sure.
Do you? Yeah. Do you still do that?
I do, yeah.
It
was just a dream.
his cries escalated it. A little bit more than normal. So Mark went in there, and then I'm like, something's not right. So I get in there. It's completely dark, and Mark's like, what's... There's something wrong. There's something wrong. He's stuck. So Mateo had wedged his arm like into the crib.
Ugh.
And we couldn't get it out.
Ugh. Like through the bars or something?
Yeah,
like
it was through the bar. Ooh. And he had, and it wasn't like his whole arm, it was his elbow, and he'd bent his arm. So it was like lodged in there. And I'm half asleep and I turned on the light, and Mark's like, I'm going to break it. I'm like, break the crib first.
Yep.
I was like, don't break his arm, break the crib.
Well, yeah. I assume that's what he was doing, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm half asleep, and he's like, I'm going to break it. I'm like, no, break the crib.
Oh, my gosh, the chaos this must have been.
It was crazy.
So he busted the crib.
Yeah, yeah.
And then got him out. Wow.
Yeah, he put a picture on Facebook, so it's
Having had a, Kim had a really terrible experience with an old crib when she was growing up that always makes me not trust cribs. I've never trusted them. They're all full of crap. They all have an evil look in their eye, and kids get jammed in there.
Yeah, and it's just so easy to wedge an arm or to fold an arm, and, you know, it's just, he was a little traumatized, but we worked it out, and...
Good, now he's doing this. Now he's fine.
Exactly.
This is to help him, so when he grows older, you can share this story from his remote Uncle Scott living in Salt Lake City. When I was 35, not many years ago, I got my toe, I was sitting at a bar stool in the house, and we had these bar stools that had a wooden thing you put your foot on, and then a metal thing just below it. It's more for like looks than it is for functionality. And I had I had no shoes on, and I got my big toe, and the ball of it, like your heel part of your toe. Stuck between the wood and the thing, and it got swollen.
Oh no!
And it took us about an hour and a half.
Oh my God.
To get out of that thing. They were about to just to saw off the wood part by the time I finally pulled out, but we were like using butter and Vaseline and anything we get our hands on. I was 35!
Oh my God. Well, see, there you go. Can happen to anybody.
It can happen. Exactly. Can
this
happen
is the truth.
Anyone.
So, anyway, well, it's good to have you back, and I'm glad that all has subsided. He's still laughing over there.
I feel bad because Mark's like, do you really think I would have broken our son's arm?
That is too funny. Well, I mean, you know, Nicole, when she's tired on either end of the spectrum, let's say it's in the morning and you've shocked her awake, or when she's playing, I don't know, Call of Duty too late, she'll say things that don't make sense. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We like that about you.
That's me.
Grenards. You threw a grenard at me. Yeah, exactly. all right. So, well, now that things have calmed down, I'm sure you've come bearing some gifts of entertainment.
I do.
What do you got for
us
today?
Well, I have a Movielicious recommendal. So we went to see Gravity.
Mm.
It just was released. So that is the new Sandra Bullock and George Clooney film, sci-fi. You can watch it in 3D. I just can't do 3D
Me
anymore.
Either. I'm done
with 3D. So I didn't watch it in 3D. But it felt 3D. Like the way that they filmed it, there were so many continuous shots, and it's about Sandra Bullock's character, and it's a drama, a sci-fi drama, I guess, because you get some really cool shots of space. And the one thing I took away from this movie is there's a lot of space junk in space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not cleaning up after ourselves.
And
very
they
well
really, yeah, the, they yeah really need to clean up after themselves. So
and it's not so much fiction as it is science, right? Like, there's no. I mean, I know it's fiction, but it's not like
there's no aliens.
There's no aliens. Or,
aliens. It's a survival story.
Yeah, it's something that you could see that could happen in, you know, in this day and age, really, without any sort of supernatural involvement or any sort of otherworldly involvement, kind of thing.
And I thought it was really cool how they filmed it. I was like, how did they do this? Like, I'm watching it going, how in the world did they do this? I would recommend, if you are interested in seeing this film, see it in the theater, because on a smaller screen it may not have the impact
when Tina and I saw it,
got an early clout deal, right?
Yeah, we got a clout deal, so we saw it in mid-September, and we were forced into the 3D thing. I think it would have been one of those where we wouldn't have done the 3D thing had it not been part of the deal. It was the best 3D experience I've had in a theater, even better than
Avatar. Now you're making me upset that I didn't see it in 3D.
No, because I think I can't compare it to the non-3D. So if you felt like it was 3D when you were in there, then you know, then it's probably just fine. But we were so engrossed in the film and so, unaware of anything else that it wasn't until we were driving home that we're like, wait a minute, how did they do some of the special effects in those shots? It's incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. And I loved George Clooney in it, too.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. almost had that role.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
I could see that.
That would be interesting, yeah.
He's too short, though, for that thing. He looked real tiny in there. Isn't he 4'3" or something? Isn't
that he's not.
He's a little tiny guy.
Sure. He'd be like, you know, can he get his hands into the ends of the space suit?
Just the top of his head would show through the little glass.
Hey, Sandra Bullock, we gotta go.
Oh, God.
I could totally see it. All right. Well, good. So highly recommended then.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was, but I will say there were times where I'm like, really? Are we doing this again? Did you get that feeling, Brian? It was like, okay, now we're going to have this happen. And then it was just, it's one of those one thing after another.
Right. Yes. Like where everything happens. Yeah, it totally. I didn't have a problem with it, but I can see it is one of those situations where it's like, all right, what else can go wrong?
Would Patrick have given it a meh? That's my question.
Because
you know how he's weird this way.
I think he might have given a lame, to be honest with you.
Really? Wow. Patrick.
Yeah.
I'm already mad at him, and we're just speaking for him.
He might surprise me, but I could see him. Yeah, I don't think he would like it.
His taste in movies often clashed with mine, and it would drive me crazy. I'd listen to an episode of Movie Licious and go, damn it, what do they do in France? What is fun to them? What's going on over there? But I'd be curious
Jerry
to know
Lewis.
What he
thinks. What?
Yeah, Jerry Lewis, what the, what? Hasselhoff, oh, it's Germans, isn't it? Is that the Germans? Anyway. That's great. So, movie recommendation for sure. Sounds like Gravity's one to see.
It just came out in the theaters last week, I think, too.
Yeah, the critics are just screaming positive reviews. It's like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so, I don't know if I go that high.
Oh, really? Oh, I loved it. And it's funny, the scientists, there was a news thing on Diane Sawyer last night. She's talking about how, we'll find out what scientists are saying about the movie Gravity. And they come back from the break and she's like, so the most scientists are proving it and, you know, love the film. One scientist pointed out that Sandra Bullock's hair should have moved more on its own in one of the weightless scenes.
Wow. Did they read the Wikipedia article on the term nitpick? Did they look that up?
Right, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm curious if Tom has seen the film yet.
He has.
Has he?
Yeah. He was tweeting the other night, right after they got from Vegas, him and Eileen went and saw it, I think. And he liked it, at least from his tweets, seemed to be. We'll confirm. Oh, he says I have.
I has.
Yeah. I has seen it, he says. Awesome. That's great.
So, yeah. So, there you go. All so, right. Keep it with a theme. We're going to do Sandra Bullock All films. Right. So, okay. I'm going to recommend a film that I absolutely love. I don't know if many people know about this film. It was one of her first films in 1992 with Tate Donovan. Mm-hmm. She plays a geeky... he's a biochemist. I'm not sure what she is, but she. Yep. But it's called Love Potion Number 9.
I don't remember this
I
at all.
Love this film. It's she plays the like the nerdy, geeky, awkward girl so well, and then transforms into the beautiful, composed woman. She does this in a lot of her films.
Yeah, I
but
agree.
This one right here is fun because Jax, get out of here. Dog's breathing on me. I'm sorry.
Is your Jack? Oh, Jax. I forgot you had a yeah. dog named Jax.
Yeah.
Is it named after the Mortal Kombat character?
No.
No? Okay.
Right. Nope.
The Sony PlayStation game?
Is there a game called Jax? I didn't know. Oh, Jax Daxter. Not that?
Nope.
All right. Is it named after the stupid game you play as a kid with the ball and those stupid little pointy things?
No, it was named after another dog that we wanted to rescue, but they wouldn't give them to us, so we just bought them and named them Jax.
Okay.
Wow. We like the name. Don't care so much of whichever dog we get, but we really like the name.
No, we wanted the rescue dog, but they wouldn't give it to us. They okay. just kept on dragging their feet. So
you
we
said,
like,
we'll
fine.
Show you. We'll buy a dog and name him Jax.
Yes. Exactly.
After our favorite face card in my deck of playing cards, Jax. All right, anyway, sorry.
So anyway, Love Potion Number 9. It's not streaming on any service. It's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon. It's not on Crackle. But if you go on YouTube and just Google YouTube, Love Potion Number 9, full movie, the full movie's out there on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I watched it from start to finish. And it's about Tate Donovan's character, which Sandra Bullock dated. They met on this movie and they were together.
Oh, they were a thing for a while. Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
He visits a gypsy, and she gives him a love potion number 8. And it's they're scientists, so they figure out why is it doing it, and then they can, when they speak, the opposite sex falls in love with them. It's ridiculous. It's a guilty pleasure movie, and if you haven't seen it, it's definitely, if you're a fan of Sandra Bullock, it's a fun movie.
It's not the one where she's naked, right? There's one in the early 90s where she's just totally buck naked. That's probably not the one.
She wasn't naked in this one.
No, not this one, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It does sound, people in chat, it sounds horrible. It grows on you.
It's cute. It's a rom-com, yeah. But it's got some cute, I remember this is an HBO staple from...
Oh, yeah.
The late 90s. It was on all the time, and that's where I caught it. Yeah, it's fun. It's you know.
Yeah. Oh, I found the naked movie. I forgot the name of it, though. Anyway, sorry. everyone needs to know that I am, of all of the, you know, Oscar-winning actress ladies in Hollywood,
yeah,
she's my favorite.
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. By far, and I've always liked her a lot, and I don't know what it is. You name any of the other ones. Jennifer Lawrence comes maybe starting to come close because I think she's really talented and cute and all that. But I think if I'm gonna put my money down, it goes Sandra Bullock, and it probably is, you know, mid 90s, early 2000s. Sandra Bullock is my favorite time for her, but still, whatever. She's great. I think she's awesome, and I'm excited to see her in Gravity.
Brian, did you notice that she wasn't wearing any makeup at all in the film Gravity?
Yeah, totally noticed that.
Was George Clooney wearing makeup at all?
Well, it was funny because I was like, wow, she really just, she's bare. And she's,
yeah, but she still looks great.
She still looks great, but I think it's funny because everybody's like, oh, Oscar worthy. I'm like, because she didn't wear makeup? I don't know.
Well, I hope it's because she's acting, but
I'm sure that is. But it's like when these actresses do things like make themselves look, I don't want to say uglier. I mean, if you think, if you remember back to Nicole Kidman wearing that prosthetic nose,
right, or Charlize Theron in Monster,
right? Right. Oh, yeah, they don't look like themselves.
No, she did not in that movie. Christina Ricci always does look like herself, though, with those giant freaking anime eyes she has, those huge freaking eyes. Right. That's interesting. All right.
No,
so what's...
I did notice also her. She's got to be doing some major leg exercises because her thighs are
amazing.
Yeah. Saw her an episode of BSG last night that was kind of along these same lines. There's a thing in season 3 where Baltar's on the Cylon ships, a whole bunch. Remember the harem part, Brian? Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
They all remember they all get that plague. That only the Cylons get it. It's some ancient Earth plague that.
Oh yeah.
Or whatever. Right. They all, when they were sick, they would all just be without their makeup. And wow, if you want to see Xena Warrior Princess in a very different light, watch that episode because she looks like a dude. She looks like a homeless dude. It's freaky because she's very attractive otherwise, you know? I mean, whatever. Yeah. Put, you know, Baltar looks terrible too. So
yeah,
I'll go both ways on this, but she looked real rough. Anyway, reminded me of that. Sandra Bullock, theme continuing. Yes. What's the next one? What else?
The next one I think is one that probably you really like, Scott, because it is in that time frame that you were saying your favorite time frame of Sandra Bullock movies. It's the 2000, so about 12 years after Love Potion number 9, Miss Congeniality.
Oh yeah, I like that movie.
That is on Amazon Prime right now.
Second one's horrifying, but the first one's great. Really.
Oh yeah,
really
don't
good.
Watch the second one. The first one's wonderful. She, you know, she does, like I said, she does the dress down, rough looking girl, and then transformation to, you know, she's still herself. She just has nicer hair and makeup on.
Right. No, it's really good. Isn't Forrest Whitaker is in that or somebody like that?
William Shatner.
Shatner's in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Shatner plays the MC for the beauty contest.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're right. That's back when Shatner was doing some weird stuff too.
He plays TJ Hooker in that movie.
He was, by the way, if you want to see a Shatner role that's like underrated, he's a great cartoon voice in that what's it called? The one where Chris Rock is the amoeba living in Bill Murray's body.
Yes.
Osmosis Jones.
And Shatner plays the mayor of the body of. He's great in it. It's really good.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Nice, nice little reference there. But yes, that's a good movie and people should see it. And if you think it's a dumb rom com, you're wrong. It's edgy and funny and kind of over the top. And I loved it. That's a great.
Benjamin Bratt?
Benjamin Bratt, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember when he was a big deal?
What happened to him?
He's still in stuff. There was a TNT show recently. He was some grizzled undercover cop guy and everyone said that was really good, but not much. Like, you don't see him in movies and stuff. He's really interesting guy. Like,
there was something
super handsome, you know,
he played a dad. Oh, he's in Modern Family.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he plays the dad.
Right.
He's
the guy that comes back from Columbia to see Manny. Yeah. Right.
Right. That's right. Yes.
That's Benjamin Bratt. Yep. He's great.
He's bio dad.
I don't got any problem with that guy. Wasn't his first big thing was Law and Order, I think. And he was, I think. Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was great on there. My gosh.
Sounds right, yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah. He is.
He is.
Doesn't seem to be getting any older, too. He's just stuck in handsome mode.
Yep.
Good for him. Anyway.
He needs to be in more stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
Petition. So, yeah, there's not a lot of Sandra Bullock movies streaming right now.
Yeah, there are.
You can probably tell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are, and that's great. These are awesome. And you're chronicling these all at segments from the show and stuff at recommendals.com, right?
So yeah, I'm a little back. I'm backlogged, but I'm gonna sit down today and put them all up there. All so, right. recommendals.com.
I believe in you. It sounds great. So, Nicole's also found right here on this network on The Final Score and also Ladies of Elite, which happens on a weekly basis in both cases.
Yep.
And if you can't get enough video games in your life, then listen to those two shows and you'll surely have enough.
For sure. By the way, Nicole, you recommended Orphan Black a while ago. Or did you? Was that somebody else?
No, that wasn't me. What is that?
UK TV series, sci-fi UK TV series. I was trying to find out where it's streaming, but I guess I didn't hear about it from you, so never mind. But it's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I think I recommended Survivors to you.
Was it Tom? I think it was Tom, actually. Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Well.
Okay.
Not me.
That's all right. We knew it was one of the Wednesday crew.
Well, I'll recommend it to you after I see it.
There you
I'm
have
trying
it.
To find out where I can catch it streaming.
Sounds good. And
I guess I know who to ask in a few minutes.
Yeah, you'll know right. You'll know exactly the guy to ask. Nicole, have a fantastic day. No more getting stuck in stuff.
No. Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Bye. See ya.
See ya.
All right, see you later. Bye. The kids laugh. Listen out. You'd never want that to end.
It's totally infectious.
Oh my gosh. What a cute little booger. He's talking now and they're doing fine work over there in the Spag House. Mm-hmm. Let's get Tom in here.
Yeah.
Cuz he's got stuff to say. He's got things to offer. Part of this world, this big world we live in.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Oh, really? Because here he is, the man himself, Tom Merrick. Good morning.
Feels so oppressive when you introduce me that way.
It kind of is, right? That guy couldn't
I'm
have a...
I'm mad. Tom I will man. Keep you down.
You're gonna. I'm gonna have to throw
Chris
a big.
Chris Rock does not like
no,
you.
No, no. I'd have to throw a big sledgehammer at your giant screen just to wake people up and realize that the man is oppressing us. We need Macintosh computers, not IBM ones. Tom, good to have you here. Good to hear from you. Excited for Tom to be here, not just because he'll bring some sort of awesome technical news here in a second, but on the 16th of this month, which I believe is next week, right? Yeah, I think so. We will air the first of Season 3, Autopilot, and we're so stoked.
Yay.
We start with Wonder Woman, and we go from there. And it's not the Wonder Woman you think, so...
No, it's not.
No, very much
not. Those
of
you who watched commercials in the 80s will recognize this Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, if you bought any gum or mints in the 80s...
Is she played by the Doubleman twins?
No. But she may as well.
Well,
have
you'll
been
just
one.
Have to listen in and find
just
out, Brian.
And find
yeah,
out.
Check it exactly. out. Autopilotshow.com for when that goes live. We'll make sure to talk about it here and other places. But we're excited about it. That's next, I want to say Wednesday. So you'll be
yeah,
here that day,
I
even.
Guess so.
Exciting stuff. Tom Merritt is the tech maven of the internet, as far as I'm concerned. Tech news today and all sorts of other things. And he's here to talk about what's going on in the minds and hearts of technical or tech enthusiasts worldwide. Tom, what is the big deal today?
Yeah, I mean, sort of the big deal is that All Things D says October 22nd will be the day of another Apple announcement, which we all expected would be an iPad announcement. And they're also saying it'll be OS X Mavericks, the new operating system for the Mac, and it will be probably the new Mac Pro that they showed off at WWDC. We'll actually get a release date for that. Maybe we'll get new MacBook Pros and Mac Minis if we got new OS X Mavericks. A lot of times they like to refresh the hardware around the same time.
They don't do the iPad stuff during that then, typically, right?
Or yeah, no, there will be the iPad will be the main event.
Oh, so you think that the way, okay. Yeah, that's typical for
them. I obviously failed at explaining this.
Right.
The whole point.
The whole point.
But they probably won't bring up Mavericks at this thing, right?
Yeah.
They would...
They're not going to mention the Mac Pro at all, are they, you think?
You're a fantastic reporter. Here's what I think is going to happen. This is what I think.
IBM, right? We're talking about?
Yeah, IBM. Yeah, we're talking about IBM.
IBM OS 2 Warp 7.
Oh, sweet. remember when that was a big deal? That was a big deal for a while.
Yeah,
remember that warp time? Remember those warp times and that whole OS Wars things heating up? And remember thinking one of these things is not going to last. And my prediction was OS 2 was not going to last. And it didn't. So anyway, my point was this. When these iPads hit, and we know that's all coming and this other stuff's happening too. But... How sure are we that because here's my buying decision this year when it comes to a new tablet or if I am getting a new tablet of any sort. If that iPad mini is refreshed to be Retina display.
Yes.
A7 processors.
Maybe.
thinner, you know, whatever. Whatever other improvements they make. If that happens, I'm in. I'm all in for a Retina mini. The mini has basically changed the way I use it. A tablet, and I use it way more than I used to, and I can't go back to a big tablet now. So I think I'm done with that. Even with the art advantages and some of that other stuff, I am way into the form factor of the mini. So this sounds like total speculation. Everybody makes these speculations before Apple events, but how certain are you? What does your gut say about a mini Retina high resolution fast, you know, mini coming out?
Let's be clear. I don't know anything. I also don't allow my gut feelings to affect anything, but I will tell you what is being said and by credible sources. So All Things D usually gets this stuff right. And what they're saying is we will have an iPad mini with a Retina display and an A7 processor, otherwise looking the same.
Okay.
And that we will have a new iPad that will be thinner and lighter to look like the iPad mini. And we'll have the 64-bit A7 processor that's in the 5S.
Right.
Now, there's another site out there called Current Editorials. And back on September 11th, currenteditorials.com predicted the October 22nd announcement. So I'm not really familiar with them. I don't know what kind of credibility ranking to give them, but they were absolutely right on this date. Everything else that they say jives with what All Things D says, except for the A7 processor in the iPad mini.
Right.
They say it's going to be an A6 in the iPad mini. So, because that's what's in the 5C. And I guess what they're saying is the iPad gets the same processor as the iPhone 5S. The iPad mini gets the same processor as the iPhone 5C. That kind of makes sense, but all things D sources are telling them different. So the processor, I'm not sure of, but I would bank on getting a Retina display for sure.
So if you have the option and you're Apple and clearly you have the option, you could have done it this way. You could have said, all right, the minis and the big 10-point whatever inch ones are going to have the same processor, the same core technology, Retina screens, essentially the same unit, except the consumer choice is size. If they did that and went that route, wouldn't that be the great determiner as to whether people prefer smaller over larger tablets? And if so, why doesn't Apple want to do that? Like, why would they want to keep pushing a larger, the high-end one to say, well, here's the hot one that you really want, but then there's this other one that's, you know, this other thing. Like, what are they afraid of there? What do you think, generally?
I totally know where you're coming from, and everybody talks about it that way. I think if I am Apple, which let's be clear, I'm not, I don't give a rat's patootie about whether you want a big or a small iPad. I want to sell as many iPads as possible. So I'm going to make them available in big and small. And you know what? People have different tastes. It's not like we're all going to buy one of them. Some people like the bigger screen. Some people like the smaller screen. It's why laptops come with multiple display sizes, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think there has to be a choice for Apple between which one is the winner, whether small tablets or big tablets are the winner. I think that's an irrelevant question. I think that they're going to sell a lot of big iPads. They're going to sell a lot of minis, and they'll be happy because they just want to sell a lot of that stuff.
Well, and that makes sense. There's probably a bunch of people. I know there are a bunch of people that are power and performance first. So they're going to see the bigger iPad and go, oh, well, that's the one with the 64-bit chip. So I got to get that. Versus somebody who sees the mini and just says, well, I don't really care about all that. I just want something small to fit in my briefcase and take on a flight with me. So I get that. I don't know. For me, obviously I'm biased, but I have come to love the smaller form factor in a way that makes it so I really don't think I can use a bigger one again. And I'm excited about it.
You and other people whose intelligence and opinions I highly respect say the same thing. I don't see it personally. I cannot find a reason for me to get a mini. It just seems like limiting myself. I much prefer to have the 9-inch iPad. And I have a Nexus 7, and I like it. It's good for reading because it's a little lighter in the hand.
Sure.
But then I do so many other things in the iPad that I just end up reading on the iPad anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. So it. Well, my point there is not to say you guys are wrong and I'm right. It's to say we all have different tastes. We all have different, you know, wants and needs. And so the point is that you have different products because of different approaches to the way you use a tablet.
Yeah. Well, smart on them, I guess, for having both. I have no problem with it. And if they came out and said the big one is, by the way, half as thick as a mini or some crazy new thin form factor or something, then I would have to seriously consider my options, you know? Like, there are things they could do to the big one where I would go,
sure.
Wow, that...
They could say, like, we're going to put this in the 9-inch, and you're not going to get it in the mini. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
The processor
holographic
would be the
projection.
Determining factor for me. If they put a much faster processor in the biggie, and then, I don't know, I'm with Scott. I love the mini. I love just the size and, like, the... kind of the one hand, you know, laying in bed, falling asleep. You don't want to. I'm trying to word this to where Ice Worm doesn't have anything he can snip out. Yeah. But, you know, like, I don't want to sit there and have to hold up an iPad, you know, big, heavy iPad. But
right. Relative to many, sure, yeah.
Once in a while, it's fun to pick up my son's. He's using my old original iPad 1. And it's fun to pick that up occasionally and go, oh, Lord, what in 2010 did we think we were doing with this thing? But, you know, it's whatever. That's how this stuff goes.
I have the iPad 2, not the new iPad, but the iPad 2. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any problems with the processing speed, how it works or anything. I don't really see a need to get a new iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they haven't made, the 2 performed really well. The chip is essentially what the mini has. And there is no giant. Like that's what's interesting about this particular event. It'll be kind of like the iPhone 5S announcement. Like the S's always are. It's always this question of is there enough happening here that really is that different from my last generation thing I had? And in the 4 to 4S, I went, yeah, because that chip's so much faster. It's just noticeable right out of the gate how much quicker the 4S is performing. In the case of the 5S, we'll see. It doesn't seem like it's that big a deal, and some camera stuff and the sensor thing, that's all cool, but who knows? I think the thing they're going to do for sure with this next set and this may be another distinguishing factor between the Mini and the full one, but that sensor thing may or may not be on the Mini, but probably 100% will be on the big one. I don't know. I could go either way.
I think they'd add it to both. I think I don't see them releasing.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope they do, because I'd like to. That thing works, and that's the number one cool thing about it is it actually freaking works. And I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see more freaky people buy one and try to use it on their wieners, because I think that's a brilliant. That's happening a lot, by the way.
That is what we're mainly going to be covering.
Right, today. Today on Tech News Today, people using their wieners securely access their phones.
I mean, Oscar Mayer hot dogs.
Right, no, we don't. Yeah, we don't.
I can upgrade my iPad with no hands.
Very nice. Well, you have five parts of your body you can register. So I'm just saying, some people are weird. Tom, that's all very good news. Anything else going on around your world that you'd like folks to know about before we cut you loose?
Well, yes, there is. Swordandlaser.com. We just put up a hangout. We did a Google hangout with author Rob Reed, his book Year Zero, which is about aliens owing us copyright royalties because they love our music, is available for 99 cents. So we talked to him about why they reduced the ebook price and why he loves that. And we talk a lot about self-publishing versus publishers, and it's really, really interesting stuff. So go check that out and keep an eye out for a forthcoming Sword and Laser video show news bulletin.
Ooh.
Wow.
What?
The wheels are turning.
What's happening?
I'm scared. And,
hopefully we'll have some
Sword,
news
Laser,
a week.
And Salami is going to be the new show.
Great.
Yes.
Because science fiction, fantasy, and deli meats. Fantastic. Sure meets. Looking forward to all of that. Tom Merritt, he's also Ace Detect on Twitter, tommerritt.com. His new book is out and awesome and great. People should be checking that out. It's called Lot Beta, and it's fantastic.
Buy up for the cover.
Buy up for the cover. Else. Stay for the story, is what I say. And more stuff coming from Tom and I and Tom and everyone. Tom has always got some mutual hand in a cookie jar with just about everybody these days, and that we're all the better for it, folks.
So many hands.
It's so many hands, so few cookies. Tom Merritt, take it easy. Have a good day. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
See you.
All right. Tom Merritt.
Oh, I forgot to ask him about
The movie thing.
Orphan Black. That's right. I'll ping him offline.
Yeah. We exist outside the show.
It looks like it's not streaming anywhere. So it's either a rent the season from Amazon or go by nefarious means.
I see.
Nefarious means.
That's potentially interesting. Time for emails. And they are brought to us by
Filmsack.com, where bad movies have no idea what's coming. This week, Four Rooms. Subscribe today at Filmsack.com.
Next week, after that,
Event
Horizon, which I'm stoked about. First of our scary movies for the month of October.
Correct.
Going to be great. Looks like our move date is Halloween, by the way. It's all locked in now. Not going to happen early. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Well, the people we were moving, but the people we're moving out that we're moving into needed more time. So.
Oh.
It's just the way it went. The people moving here were loving the idea of an early move out, but we just couldn't swing it. We were ready to, but they couldn't do it. Here you go. I got an email from David who says, just a quick thing. Monday's episode, Scott and Brian both agreed that China has different time zones on the basis that it is a large enough country. China is the world's second largest country. However, the Chinese government does not enforce time zones. Hong Kong on China's east coast has the same time zone as Dunhuang, all the way west near the desert. Why do they do this? Something along the lines of having uniform time, the same reason they do or they don't do daylight savings. I was quite surprised when I took a 33-hour train ride from east to west and didn't have to change my clock. 33-hour train ride. That sounds... Guess what part of this story I'm zeroing in on.
What part sounds the worst to you?
That sounds terrible to me.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Anyway, so China, no time zones. One big fat time zone, that's it. Interesting. I only went to southern China, so I had no idea if it changed. Kevin wrote in, says, raw meat. He is not raw meat, Kevin. Kevin the raw meat, whatever. Says, I'm catching up on the episode about eating raw meat, and I wanted to let you know that my family, along with lots of Lebanese families, eat a dish called kibbeh. Or he says it's pronounced kibbe.
Kibbe.
Kibbe. We are having kibbe. Traditionally, it is made with lamb, but we make ours with certain cuts of beef. The ingredients are ground up raw beef, ground onions, bulgur wheat. Bulgur? Would you say that
Bulgur.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bulgur, wheat, and spices, commonly salt, pepper, and cinnamon. It's the national dish of Lebanon. Probably Klinger mentioned it once or twice. I've eaten it all my life. It's quite delicious. There is a downside, though. Horrible, horrible flatulence. Eating and farting, Kevin. Or Kev. Maybe his name is not Kevin. I don't know. Okay. That sounds horrible. I don't want that food. I don't want raw. I don't want raw beef. No, I don't. Do you?
I wouldn't mind it, you know, because obviously it's going to be cured or something with the salt or the other enzymes in there. I mean, you've had ceviche or ceviche.
What the hell is ceviche? What's that?
It's raw fish cured with citrus, usually lemon, lime juice.
I've had
it's Cuban.
I've had horse and I've had squirrel. That's the most weird meat I've had, and in both cases, those were cooked. So.
Well, yeah. Thinking more about the raw over the weird.
Right.
The weird meat.
Raw over the weird, coming this fall to Sci-Fi.
The new album from Fine Young Cannibals, The Raw and the Weird.
Still one of the best band names of all time, and unfortunately not a good enough legacy to justify it. That's what I say.
That's too bad.
Because that's a great name, Fine Young Cannibals.
Yeah.
What a perfect band name.
They were great, too.
All right. Dear Styracoccus, wait, Styracosaurus, Styracosaurus?
Sure.
And Brachiosaur.
Styracosaurus, yeah.
Got that one. Stop telling people that our cars are powered by dinosaurs, he says. This is Scott, another Scott. Okay. Much like the myth about Canadian money, this theory is full of holes. Oil did not, in fact, come from dinosaurs. It was a byproduct of bacteria dissolving plankton and algae millions of years ago. The waste from these bacteria was covered by layers of sediment and over millions of years and under extreme pressure transformed into hydrocarbons. Even coal, which is found in abundance on the land, was not the product of dinosaurs. Coal began forming in the Carboniferous period when the earth was covered in dense jungle. But the bacteria that decomposes plant matter had not yet evolved. The plants and trees that died from this thick layer of plant matter that was covered up by layers of dirt and sediment. Much like the sea-dwelling bacteria waste, the plant matter changed with time and pressured into coal.
Coil, sure.
Coil. We're burning coil. Despite your woeful lack of prehistoric geology, I still love the show, Scott. All right. What do they call it? Fuel. When they refer to it as fuels,
fossil fuel.
So plant fossils more than dinosaur fossils.
Dinosaur fossils. I remember the old Exxon commercials where they showed the dinosaurs walking around, and then it's almost like they dissolve into the ground and become oil.
Became oil, right? So, don't blame us for the misinformation. Right. We don't know.
That's right.
Honestly, I don't. I think I remember in school teachers telling me that dinosaurs were the source of it. That all these dead biological entities were the things that eventually, you know, in one way or the other became oil. So I don't know why we were told that then, because his theory here is not theory. I guess his fact sounds way more palatable to me than what I had been told or what Exxon showed me in a cartoon.
Right, right.
So we're with you, dude. We like your new funny way of looking things. Okay.
That's right. Hey, I have one quick email to read because since we're not doing a show tomorrow, I won't be able to get this request out, but there's just a really short email that goes with it. You mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
It comes from Geek Girl, Jessica, in the Tadpool. Says, hi, Scott and Brian. Today's the anniversary of when my hubby Jared and I started dating. We've been together a total of 8 years, and I love him more and more each and every day. He's a great father and the best hubby around. Love you, super awesome. With all my heart. Love your super cute Geek Girl, a.k.a. Jessica. So they have nicknames for each other. Super awesome and super cute. Oh, that's sweet.
That's so much better than Weasel and Popeye or whatever you're going to call each other.
That's right. Great. We got to get her out to Nerdtacular with her amazing crafts, her amazing nerdy crafts that she makes.
Yeah,
so.
I told Dave we need to reserve booth space for her. So
yeah,
she'd be great. She'd be perfect very there, good. In fact.
She would. Oh, she'd make a mint. Yep. She'd have to be cranking on sewing between now and then, but
don't do crank though. That's great. Congratulations.
Unless it makes you go faster, whatever.
Yeah, of course. A reminder that the AIE Guildhall BlizzCon hoo-ha thing is still going on. Bro, this crunky really got to me today. I gotta move that out
loving
of the way.
The crunky.
Not loving the crunky. There are 50 hours left to support the AIE BlizzCon Guildhall, tiny.cc/ AIE Guildhall, or you can just search for Guildhall or AIE on Kickstarter. It'll take you straight there. 50 hours left to contribute. There are still many great packages available. If you want one, get one today. That's now at Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. And today's the last day. 50 hours to go.
No, it's two. Well, I'm sorry. Tomorrow. 2 days. Just over 2 days.
Yeah, technically tomorrow. And we'll tweet about it and stuff, but now's your chance to get it within 72 hours.
And come hang out with me. I'm going to be there. Yeah. I'm going to be sleeping on the floor with Dills. We're crashing the...
That's going to be your place to stay.
The Guildhall pad, yes.
Great. Oh, no. We are going to be there as well. So will the Spags, Tom, Veronica, the whole crew, man. Just about everybody going.
I'm excited about that. I'm even tempted to hold off on opening any of my packs or doing any arena stuff until I'm there with Dills and I can get some expert coaching.
The guy's the man. He's working on a whole different level than the rest of us.
He really is.
Looking forward to all of that. Can't wait to see you guys there. That's the AIE Guildhall. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the Hilton is where it'll be. All right. That's it. Let's get out of here. I want to thank everybody involved with today's show, particularly AlphaGeekRadio.com. I want to thank Scott Fletcher. And I want to point people to our website where you can find our t-shirt, our mug, links to show notes, forums, all that stuff. Frogpants.com/TMS. You can find us on Facebook at /TheMorningStream. As always, email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, and on Twitter, we're at MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Let's go. I have to pack up all my photo gear today and do a photo shoot downtown.
Is that what you're doing tomorrow for the client, or is that a different...
So this is the shoot part, and then tomorrow is the big approval of the shoot part. And that's the part that takes all the meetings and the talking and the whatnot, so...
Look at that. Look at you, Mr. Photographer.
Well, you know, you got to have, speaking of hands and cookie jars, you got to make it all work, you got to do a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I got to draw a picture of that cartoon you had that idea for today.
Oh, yeah, right. Heidelberg.
So no Salmonella Heidelberg. I'm going
to
do
it. By the way, Jeannie reminds us to tell people to go visit podcastawards.com and nominate TMS in the comedy category.
Mm.
You can nominate us for People's Choice and Best Produced if you like, but... you know, comedy is what we're all about, what we're going here. We like to provide you the funny. So
we like to make you laugh.
I
bet there's some controversy about that if we win. Not that we're not funny, but that...
Yeah, but what else? What else are they going to put us in?
What else is it is? Gay, you know, and lesbian?
Entertainment category? Come on, that's so...
I hate that one.
It's time for new categories, Todd. Let's work on new categories.
Todd. I can't hear the word Todd without thinking of a totally different person.
Lydia.
All right. That's it. Let's leave people with a happy thought. And we do that through the magic of music. And Brian brings his magic wand and he's going to lay down some smack. Go.
Right here. It's coming. Scott Brian, listening to Wendy on the 26th, hit close to home and I had to write in. My first wife passed away unexpectedly when we were both 37 years old. Ugh. Soon after, I met Pam. At the time, I was wearing my wedding ring on a chain around my neck. As we were growing close, she started to bring up that seeing the ring bothered her. She brought that up without any animosity against my previous wife. It is at this time that I realized I needed to dedicate 100% of my heart to Pam, and moving on is absolutely no disrespect to my previous wife. I took the ring off and stored it away. Eventually, I realized that selling the ring would not have any effect on the memories of my first wife. Discussing something like wearing a wedding ring from a previous marriage when a death has taken place does not have to be a taboo subject as long as it is brought up properly. I didn't realize the effect it was going to have on my new relationship. Believe it or not, guys can be kind of dumb sometimes. On October 9th, I will have been married to Pam for 9 amazing years. I have 2 wonderful stepchildren along with my own 2 kids. Having her in my life has been absolutely wonderful. We make the perfect pair. Seeing her face always makes me smile. Our song is Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue. One of her favorite songs is Long Cool Woman by the Hollies. Brian, in order to mix the two together, could you please play Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress by Vince Neil? Even though I won't admit to loving the show, my listening habits give me away. Signed, Joe Uncool, when I'm in the tadpole. Michael from Colorado Springs. P.S. Brian, Pam is originally from Arvada. Oh, very cool. Well, congratulations, very nice. You two.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, and way to make it work. Yeah, this you guys are going to be hearing this for the first time along with me and Scott because of the technical problems today. I didn't have a chance to listen to this before I bought it and stuck it into the show. So this is from a 2010 album, Tattoos and Tequila, which I had no idea existed. There's a bunch of other, from all appearances, it looks like there's a bunch of other covers on here. It looks like there's, Let's see here. Another piece of meat. Who'll Stop the Rain? Viva Las Vegas. So some Creedence, some Elvis. So I can't wait to check out the rest of this album. Here's their cover of the, or his cover of the Hollies, Vince Neil, from the album Tattoos and Tequila, Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress.
Perfect. We'll be back next Monday with a whole new week of shows. No delays that I'm aware of. Everything should be fine leading up to Halloween when all hell breaks loose for me. A couple of days.
Right.
But before all that, everything should go well. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. It's Long Cool Woman. I'm a short, hot man. And I'll talk to you next week.
I've had worse things in my mouth.